Okay, we're going to go ahead and get started. My name is Kathy Dew, and like I said, I'm really excited to see so many of you here today. When I propose these to Microsoft, a lot of times I think they don't take me seriously about how many people are actually curious and want to do things like customize the UX for things like SharePoint. And I think that's evident by some of the messages they've given us over the years. Don't customize it. Okay, you can customize it. We're still going to break it. You know, I think that that is pretty evident. So what this is intended to be is kind of an informal discussion. It's a meetup. But what we're going to do is I'm here, and I do this for a living. I challenge Microsoft daily. In fact, sometimes when they create new things for SharePoint and SharePoint Online, they ask me if I can break it before they release it into the first release tenants so that we can customize things in the future. And we are going to try to end just a few minutes early because, as I said, the one session for SharePoint branding at this conference starts at 10:45 in the theater in A. And so I want to make sure that you have the opportunity to go to that session. And so please, if you decide you want to head up there early, you're not going to hurt my feelings. And I'm going to talk a little bit about a few things, and then I'm going to take any questions, ways that you guys are doing this, and we're going to talk about those as well, things that you wanted to do, maybe have questions about or have trouble with or can't do, and we'll kind of go from there. So I am a SharePoint MVP. They renamed us Office Servers and Services because they couldn't figure out how to make us both Office 365, SharePoint Online, and SharePoint on-premises. So we have many things to discuss today. So how many of you are Office 365 and SharePoint Online? Ooh, so many of you are facing the ever-changing battle epidemic. Any of you strictly on-premises? Okay, then for you guys that are on-premises, are any of you already on 2016? A couple of you, okay. Does anybody, I'm gonna try to, let's play the Jeopardy game. How many of you are on SharePoint 2013? Any of you still on SharePoint 2010? Okay. Any of you still on SharePoint 2007? Any of you still on SharePoint 2003? What about WSS? Ah, there's always one. There's always one. So I have been branding SharePoint since WSS, so I feel everyone's pain in this room. So let's talk a little bit about kind of the state of the future, some of the messages we've been getting from Microsoft and what is coming out and what we kind of need to be aware of. So in the last couple of years, we've gotten a lot of, if you're coming in and you don't mind sitting, they didn't put chairs in the middle, but you are welcome to come sit in the middle if you don't mind sitting on the floor. Won't bother any of us in here. We've asked for more chairs. So in the last couple of years, Microsoft has given us mixed messages. I'm sure many of you have heard these mixed messages. About 2 years ago, they came out and said, please don't customize SharePoint Online or SharePoint. There's no need. You don't customize Outlook. That was a very confusing message because SharePoint has been sold as your intranet, and you should be able to customize your intranet to look like your company or whatever you want. So they had that message out strong for maybe 6 months. Don't customize. And then they came out and flat out said, no custom master pages in Office 365, and we don't encourage you to do them for SharePoint 2013 and certainly not for SharePoint 2016. That went over kind of like a lead balloon. And now, I'm going to ask the question, any of you in here work for Microsoft? I always ask because sometimes they get offended. So they went to a conference in Europe, and they put out a session where they flat out said, no master page customizations. And I had the foresight enough to screenshot it because now that presentation exists nowhere. And so when I go to them and I'm like, well, you told us once we couldn't do that. And they were like, we never said that. Oh, really? So I just email them the screenshot. It was on Channel 9, too, so they can't deny it too much. So now we are allowed customizations in Office 365 for SharePoint Online and on-premises servers. But it's a real challenge, as many of us in this room have probably faced. So I'm going to tell you what I consider best practices, and then I want to hear some of the horror stories from you guys. So I consider best practices for customizing, especially SharePoint Online, is if I want to customize everything, I only do that for my publishing content. Okay, so that's anywhere that I maybe have the publishing infrastructure turned on. That's where I would use a custom master page and custom CSS. For things like team sites and all the other site templates, I use a composed look. Now, why do I do that? Because the new features and iterations that Microsoft has been pushing out apply mainly to those other templates other than the ones that we would use for publishing. And they're supposed to release those new features utilizing the theme engine so that it will follow your brand. Right? So we keep up to date with what we're getting, what we're having for our users, and it's supposed to follow our brand. You notice I say supposed to, because they've released some of those with theming not working. And then you go to them and you're like, but why is that blue, the rest of my site's red? And they realize that they didn't put the right code in place for it to pull the theme engine. I believe that in Eric's session that they're gonna be doing starting at 10:45, they're going to tell you that customizations only work on the classic experience in SharePoint Online. Why do they say this? Because you can't even apply a custom composed look to any of the modern experiences and use have it inherit your color scheme. It's not there. Right? So you want those new modern team sites they're showing. You want those new document libraries and lists that are so great. You get how they want them to look right now. They do know that they have to make them work with composed looks. They're not going to work with a custom master page. They're just not. Right? So I laugh. They've been telling me, and they've kind of stopped saying this, and I'm going to know if any of you heard this. They started last year at Ignite talking about experiences being on Rails. Did any of you hear the railed experience conversations? So they started talking about, we're going to give you new SharePoint experiences that look the way we want them to look and that are laid out the way that they want them to be laid out. And they're going to give you these experiences on Rails. They switched from talking about it being on Rails to being modern. I like to think that I had a little role in that because I used to tell them that I didn't want to be put on Rails, so that didn't sound very fun. And I was going to wait for Dudley Do-Right to come save me because all I could picture every time they said that was being tied to the train tracks. So modern experiences are not currently customizable. Is anybody in the room happy about that? Me either. So I would like all of you in this room, how many of you know about a little thing called user voice? Okay, for those of you who don't, user voice is a community that you can go sign up for. You get an account, and we can put in features that we want to request or things that you need SharePoint to do. That is the place that the product team is watching to see who wants what. And it is the only place I have seen features come from and changes be implemented from. So I highly encourage every one of you to get a user voice account if you don't have one already. It gives you a set of votes. Put in these things saying, I want to be able to customize the modern experiences. Give examples of what you want to customize and then upvote it, right? So keep, look, search for it, see if there's anything about UX in there and upvote it. That's what I do. I will laugh and say that when they released the new document library, the modern document library, it came out and many of us were really shocked. Does anybody in the room, can anybody tell me what was missing when they pushed out the new document libraries? Global navigation. There was no global nav there, right? And so they saw this come up in like days in the user voice right after they released this and everybody upvoting it. And so guess what they're adding back in? Global navigation. I wish they would add back in breadcrumb navigation. That one's got a ton of votes on User Voice, right? So go do that and vote it there. And then also, how many of you know about the new Microsoft Tech Community, the new website for that? Okay, if you don't, in Hall C, which is where lunch is, they have that big hangout area. If you walk in there, there's a big thing hanging from the center of the screen that says Microsoft Tech Community. They will help you sign up for an account in there. The product group is also in there watching conversations on SharePoint. So you can get in there and ask questions. I'm in there. A lot of us are in there helping answer questions to talk about things that are happening. So it's another great place to continue this conversation at the end of the session. Okay. So what's coming? So we all have hopefully heard of the new SharePoint framework, right? How many of you, everybody heard, at least heard a mention of it, maybe not played with it yet? So the new SharePoint framework is intended to separate the back end, the way that SharePoint runs, from the UI. What is this hopefully going to mean for us? What they're trying to do is separate it out so that we can build completely custom UI interfaces and just have SharePoint run in the back end. So no more custom master pages needed. We build it how we want it, and how it runs in the back end is allowed. So kind of think of it like WordPress and some of the other things where we build our own custom themes and we're not messing with the core functionality. That's what they're going towards. When will that be delivered? Will it do what they say it's going to do? Am I going to have a lot of arguments with them about it? Probably. Right? So I want to hear from you. Raise your hand if you have a question, or what have you been doing? Yeah. So he asked, does anybody else use the login as different user? Yeah, that they got rid of, that they deprecated. Right, yeah, because you know nobody else has to test things. That's my favorite thing about everything in the SharePoint master page. He said that there is a hack where you can put it back in the master page because it's just coded out. That's my favorite thing. Do you know you can still add the breadcrumb back in because it's just coded out? Right? They just removed it. It's still there. They don't ever take anything out. You can always add it back in. They just removed it from the master page, but in the back end code that runs it, it's still there. So if you go to 2013 or 2010 and find the breadcrumb control, go add it into your master page, it'll show up again. Yeah, just find the snippet in an old master page and put it in. It'll work. Yeah. Okay, what's the difference between the SharePoint framework and the UI fabric? So the UI fabric, the Office UI fabric, is simply a series of controls that they've built out so that when you build a web part or page with a people picker, it looks the same as everything else in SharePoint. When you build a web part or something and you need the title, it's the same title as everything else in SharePoint. Yes. This is just looks. The UI fabric is just the looks. It's not all that impossible stuff to get the variables right. No, it's just the looks. So the UI fabric is something that they've put together because so many of us complained about having to rebuild that every dang time. And so they went out to the community and they had community people build it and then they put it out as their own. Oh yeah, that's how it happened. I know some of the people that did it. Andrew Connell did a bunch of it. And they basically just took all the main controls that you would do. So people pickers, drop downs, search boxes, all of that. And they built them as a fabric control that you could put in there so that the appearance is the same. So it uses the same CSS, so it uses the compose look, all of that. And you don't have to build it from scratch. The SharePoint framework is the development part of it, right? Just using JavaScript and React and TypeScript to build things. The difference between the SharePoint framework and the client-side rendering. So that's a good one. So the SharePoint framework is intended to be client-side code, right? So it's using JavaScript and React and TypeScript and all of these to build controls. So we're no longer building server-side code. We're building client-side code using open source components. So there's not a ton different between the two of the ones that you were asking about. It's just a different framework. As far as I know. Who else? What else are you doing? Yeah. Anybody else using JS link properties? Yeah. So she's saying she's been struggling with the repetition of the page title in the master page, which in online and on premises, which one? On-prem 2016? Okay, so on-prem 2013 master page, the page title repeats. I don't know if many of you have seen that, but it does repeat in there, I think, three different times within the master page. And if you pull it out of the two times, it actually just starts showing up multiple times. If you remove it, it shows up multiple times. So you think you're editing one, and you have to do it multiple times. So for me, I actually take and make the edits to all three of them that they are in there. I have never figured out why it's mentioned three times and why if I remove one, it shows up. And if you comment out one of the others, it shows up. And I don't know what in the back end that they have looking for that three calls. I'm just not sure. I hate to be the one to tell you that you have to do the work three times, but I typically do it in one of them and just copy it into the others. What else? Yeah. And not have to do a custom master page? Okay, so he says that he's writing things, custom controls and things, and needing the custom master page so that it has all of the right assemblies and JavaScript calls and everything, and it doesn't get overridden by Microsoft. And is there another way around that? No. You can try using JavaScript injection. And JavaScript injection is something that you can do where you don't have to edit the master page, and you're simply using JavaScript to inject your CSS and your JavaScript files into a page. So it does it at page load, so it usually is the last thing called. I will tell you that it's not 100%, because Microsoft in their every 2 week Tuesday rollouts, which are not every 2 weeks, they lie, it's every week. They lie. It's every Tuesday. They have overridden my files before because they add a new JavaScript call in that comes in after mine. So you do have to tweak it every once in a while. Less tweaking than you have to do with the master page, but it is kind of a pain to do it. So he's asking, there's a minimal amount of stuff in the master page that you have to load to make it function. Is there a minimal amount of stuff that you have to put into your new ASPX pages to make them load as well and function? The answer to that is yes, but what they are is a mystery to me. Right? So it's just one of those, and I'm going to go to him next. He has a question. He's over here behind the speaker, and I saw him now. But there isn't a way to do that. The only way that I have been able to do that, just quite honestly, is to use that god-awful design manager, right? That magic thing that they told us was going to take branding that you could get from HTML and CSS from an ad agency and have it apply to SharePoint and have it create a page layout and then take the code out of that. It's the only way I've been able to build them and have that stuff included. Now, I think that that will probably go away, by the way, design manager. Yeah. Ooh, that's a really good question. So he asked, with the advent of the SharePoint framework, if I knew what the future is for responsive frameworks like Bootstrap, and what are they going to use? So as far as I understand it, they're building them into everything, and they're slowly changing Office 365 to be all responsive, and they're using Bootstrap. Yeah. So, but they're not using just like straight up Bootstrap. They're kind of, you know, Microsofting it a little bit. What? Yes. They Microsofted it, right? They added MS classes instead of the Bootstrap classes. So you look for MS-whatever, and those are usually the Microsoft classes that they replaced Bootstrap with. We can't have anything simple. It can't just be, oh, you do Bootstrap for this, you're going to be able to do it here with the same stuff. That's way too simple, way less of a challenge for us. Just think of it as job security. That's what I do. And I just challenged them all. I'm like, why did you do this? Like, why did you change this CSS class on Tuesday? And when I ask them this, a lot of times they don't even know who changed it. Yeah. Wait, what's the time? 10:36. So I time how long it takes in every session. So I did a panel yesterday with Jennifer Mason and John Patrick White, and it took 8 minutes for the InfoPath question to happen. Took a little longer in here. Do I know when InfoPath is going away? No. Do I know what's going to replace it? No. Oh, now you're going after my heart. Oh, SharePoint designer, SharePoint destroyer, as I like to call it. My favorite tool ever. It still works with online, and it still works with 2016. And did they? And they got hit by the code-based solution. So you got hit by the sandbox solution problem. Oh, so they had real code in your solution. Yeah, because they had to remove the code. Yeah. Yeah. It's going to go away. So I would recommend that you download Visual Studio Code, you know, the free version of Visual Studio, and get familiar with that before SharePoint Designer goes away. Yeah, it's my favorite. I still use SharePoint Designer all the time because I love the direct open of the site to be able to put it into a style library and test and not have to go save and drag and drop from one to the other and why they're getting rid of it. I know why they're getting rid of it, because it was a free tool, right? And everybody complained about it. And they would offer to refund your money if you complained about it really hard because you didn't pay for it. Yeah. So I get why they're getting rid of it. I don't know when it's going away. I anticipate that with Office 365, when Design Manager disappears, SharePoint Designer will no longer work. And I know Design Manager is going to disappear because I can't imagine them keeping that for very long. Yeah. Who else? What else are we doing? Yeah. On-prem or online? On-prem is still completely customizable. On-prem is still completely customizable, everybody. Yay! So you can customize master pages. You can roll it out as full trust solutions if you want, the same way you've been doing it in 2010, and nobody can tell you you can't do it. Perfect, right? Okay, so you have a customized 2013 on-prem, and you're going to stick with 2013 on-prem for probably a couple of years, and would like to transform your brand from non-responsive to responsive. Uh-huh. And then he chose the Tristan. Then go to Office 365 after that. Okay, so for what you have right now, 2013, on-prem, custom brand, moving it to responsive, there are a lot of really great community code projects that have baseline master pages that are built in responsive. Okay? I have cards up here, so if you don't want to remember where those are, you can come get one of my cards at the end of this, send me an email and say, hey, I was the one who asked you about the 2013 responsive framework, and I'll send you a link. How about that? I won't make you even go search for it. So I would recommend starting from one of those because they did all the hard work to build Bootstrap into it. And then all you have to do is change your CSS to match that. Now, the caveat on that is that it's not going to make document libraries or lists responsive. Right? Why will it not make document libraries or lists responsive? Anybody know? Yeah. No. You know? Nope, not that either. Yeah. Tables, we have a winner. You know how in 2013 they said they were going to make it all div-based? Do you know what they lied about? Making it all div-based. Do you know what document libraries and lists are? They are 12 deep nested tables. You want to try to make a 12 deep nested table responsive? Because I don't. Right? So you can make anything else responsive using these except document libraries or lists. So typically what I tell people to do, keep your custom brand the way you have it for team sites and just make any other template responsive. It's just the best way out there. That's part of the reason why the modern document library experiences don't take branding because they rewrote them all to be responsive, right? And they added in those stupid little tiles that they think are great. They added those in, and it's responsive, but you can't customize it. Yeah, who else? Yeah, that's what the framework's supposed to do. So yes, I've done that. I have actually built an Azure website that is a completely custom UI. And had it pull out things from SharePoint and display. You can do it. It's an awful lot of work. And if you're doing it for Office 365, it changes every Tuesday. I love how they tell me, once a month on Tuesday, we push out updates. And I tell them, then how come every Wednesday the master page is iterated a new version? Oh, yes. No. Yes. It's all client-side, and you have to install it all on your computer to do it. It's not easier than going to Visual Studio. It's not. Do you want to know a secret? I got the framework, and I only installed it on my Apple computer. I didn't install it on my Windows machine. Why? Because it downloads 95,000 files to your machine. 95,000 files to your machine that you can't delete. Ooh. Yeah, that's a great question. Ask them that. Go to one of the like patterns and practices sessions or somebody that's talking about it, ask them that. They didn't think it was important to do to start out with. They didn't listen to us, the MVPs that said, we won't use it unless you do that. They didn't listen. Yeah. The full page what? Full page apps and the underlying architecture. Can you give me a specific example so I make sure I'm talking to the right thing? Did they show you that? Oh, yeah, that magic stuff that they talk about. So he said he wanted to hear about the full page apps with no Chrome. Yeah, that's the framework that they haven't built yet. They don't know how it's going to work. That's why they didn't show it to you. It's a pipe dream, my pipe dream, and I'm waiting for it to become reality. So supposedly what they say, like you probably heard, is that you're going to be able to build your own full-page apps that look however you want to, and it will consume the information from SharePoint and Office 365 and display it how you tell it to. That's the pipe dream. And they say 2017, that's the first I've heard. I'm going to find that session, I'm going to watch the video, and then I'm going to screenshot it. Who was it? Deep dive into SharePoint. I'm going to go find that session, I'm going to watch the video, I'm going to record it, and I'm going to play that back for them every time they miss the deadline. Yeah. Okay, I've been doing add-ins. I feel your pain. Yeah. He has to create everything manually. Yeah. Are they planning to make that easier? No. Yeah, somebody over here. Yeah. There isn't one. His question was, what do I recommend if you want to build a custom master page that will work in Office 365 and on-prem? There isn't one. They are completely different at this point. So if you have a hybrid environment where you want a custom brand on-prem and you want the same custom brand online, guess what? You're the lucky recipient of two sets of brand files that you have to manage and keep updated. Oh, high level, what can you change in Office 365? You can create a custom color scheme that you can apply really easily. And if you have never heard of it, there's a little tool called the SharePoint Color Palette Tool that they gave a lot of love to because it's got the simple little desktop icon. I think an intern developed it, and then that intern went back to school, and they haven't looked at it since. But you can use that to build a color palette file really easily and put that into Office 365, and then you can apply that using the Compose Look, the theme. It's supposed to work on everything new they release. It doesn't work on modern experiences yet, but that's the easiest way to make the change, as well as how many of you have heard of the global tenant theme? So if you're a global admin in your Office 365 tenant, you know that app launcher bar at the very top of the screen? You can customize that. No, through the global tenant administrator. Yeah, in the admin screen. So if you go to the admin screen, you click on your tenant name in the top right corner, it'll take you to something where you can customize that. You can customize colors, you can add a picture or a logo in it. It goes across everything Office 365. So your Outlook on the web, the video portal, Dell, it changes that top bar across the top of the screen. They can personalize their people pages. They can't personalize sites. You can override that now. You can override that now. It doesn't work for you? I want to talk to me afterwards because I had a huge argument with the product group about making that work. The shared navigation? No. The SharePoint navigation? So the top nav bar with CSS, yeah. You can customize that with CSS. Yeah. Okay, lucky you. Lucky you, you're a lucky one. SharePoint 2013 on-prem. Yes, ma'am. How far do you want to brand it? Do you want to make it look nothing like SharePoint, or do you make it look just like prettier? nothing like SharePoint, then you're going to need a combination of a custom master page and CSS. You can. You could use Dreamweaver. You can use Visual Studio, whatever web development tool you're comfortable with. SharePoint Designer does allow you direct integration so that you can hit save and go refresh a web browser and see it. Other ones you have to save locally and then drag them into the browser and then hit refresh. So SharePoint Designer is really easy for that. But do it in, I'm assuming you're on-prem, so have somebody create you your own web app to play around with to do custom master pages, because you will break it, at least, and you don't want to do that with your production. Yeah, so do it in there because you will break it at least once, and you'll have to call somebody to run some PowerShell to reset the master page so that you can even get back in it. Yeah. Coming to you next. Now I'm going to pull out my crystal ball and give you the magic wand. Yeah. Oh my gosh, they talk about these things that they're never going to deliver, and it just, oh. That's a really great question. Is SharePoint in 5 years going to be a product or a platform? Yeah, the dev things they take away from us every day. Yeah, I know. I think it's a split answer, actually. I think that Office 365 is a product, and that's their mentality. I think on-prem is a platform. Urging the on-prem platform. In fact, they have committed to at least another version past 2016, server version. Okay, so they're not planning on getting rid of that. Honestly, they can't. There are too many Department of Defense groups and government groups that are never moving to the cloud. That would eat Microsoft alive if they got rid of the server version, right? Yeah, but I think that's a split answer. I think that, at least right now, my projection in the future, my hope of that future is that they both stay platforms, is that Microsoft continues to learn the lessons that we've learned over the years of managing SharePoint Server for Office 365, and they figure out they're going to pull the reins really tight. They've already started. You know, they're going to pull the reins really tight, and people are going to leave, or people are going to demand the ability to do more. And I hope that over 5 years, it goes back to a platform, right? I think right now on the current trajectory, it's going to a product. Yeah, somebody over here had one. Yeah. Am I familiar with Mgage Prime? I've heard of it, but no, I'm not super familiar with it. They came up with a solution? Which are going to get discontinued before long. 65. I have seen their stuff. I just, because of what I hear from, I worry about their stuff. Yep. The new SharePoint page? Because it went from sites to SharePoint, right? And so now it's that page with the favorites and all that. The colors they pick for you, that's my favorite. That algorithm. I want to find the person that wrote that algorithm and punch them in the face. Did I say that out loud? Voice, inside voice. Oh, they've heard it before. They wouldn't be surprised. I don't know. Telemetry will tell them if you're using it or not. How many people have us heard of that word, stupid word, telemetry? Telemetry will tell us if you're using it, and if you're not using it, go away. Oh. So just when we figure it out, they get rid of it. No, doesn't exist, can't happen. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Won't work online. Okay, on-prem it'll work. No. 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 There's an app out there written by Todd Baginski. I don't remember the name of it at this exact moment that mimics that, but it's an app that you add in. If you grab one of my cards and email me and say, tell me what teabag, and I know that sounds bad, but tell me what teabag's app is. That will save you from writing Baginski and trying to figure out how to spell that. We all call him teabag. It's hilarious. I'll send you an email with a link to that because that's the only thing that I've found that can give us a mimicked cross-site collection nav in Office 365. What are people doing for global nav across site collections in Office 365? Complaining. You put a home or whatever, a link on the, yeah. People are complaining a lot because none of the code ways that you're doing on on-prem to do this, which are fantastic and work great, can work in Office 365. Yeah, people are complaining and they're having to do it manually more. And then they complain a little more and they just haven't fixed it. And it's not in the roadmap right now. I've seen people try to do that, and I've seen people get frustrated when the changes happen every 2 weeks, and it breaks it. Feature enhancement. And they say it's every 2 weeks, but it's every Tuesday night. And I liken customizing SharePoint Online to paying a tax that you're not in charge of when the tax is given to you. So you've made the decision to customize it. You're going to pay a tax. And Microsoft determines when you're going to have to pay the tax and how heavy the tax is by their Tuesday updates, right? So that's why I say my recommendation is going and leave everything else as a composed look. That's where they're making most of the changes, so you don't have to pay the tax as often. Yeah, but you still end up paying the tax. Yes. Okay. Welcome. This is our support meeting, and I think it's kind of like AA. Yes. Yes. Completely disabled in Office 365. Carry 13 and 2016. So his question and ask is he used the user actions to add something into the ribbon, and that allows you to add JavaScript that can be called on page load, and does that continue forward into A, Office 365, and B, 2013 and 2016 on-prem. He disabled it in Office 365, but it was a good thing that they did that because it was actually a security risk. Okay, so it allowed any page that you had that being utilized on someone else to have JavaScript run on page load. So it was allowing phishing and all of that. So they disabled it in Office 365 because it was a security risk. It's not as much of a security risk on-prem because I'm not sticking it in some CDN somewhere and telling it to run to anything on Microsoft.com, which is what people were doing online. So you can still do it in 2013 and 2016. But welcome to the fold. Yeah. The new design of team sites, when are they coming to on-prem? It's not in the roadmap for the feature pack release yet. Probably 2 years. I would say next service, if I had to guess. The reason for that is they have to release it into Office 365 and then iterate it about 20 times before they think it's final. And then they'll think about pushing it. PowerShell disable groups, please. I know. They don't know. So her question was, anybody else have a problem with the fact that groups can create team sites now? The new one that they talked about here is a team site in SharePoint. Not right now, but in the future. It's in OneDrive. We're all really rich, right? Your company just loves that additional extra $5 per user per month charge, right? So it was supposed to take away from OneDrive the old way. Groups, when you move it and it starts creating a site, it was supposed to take away from the user who creates it, OneDrive, which I always laughed. And I was like, so no admin's going to have any OneDrive storage ever. So that's why they moved it to SharePoint and taking away from your SharePoint quota size. But the new method that they started talking about this week is that if you create a SharePoint site, team site, it creates a group, it creates a team site. They're tied together. If you create Planner, creates a group, creates a team site, all tied together. Oh, yeah, it'll pull Yammer too, you know? Yammer. Oh, it's an awful nightmare, IA and everything else. Customization, branding. So we're at the end of our time and the other session has started. So that's why a lot of people have started migrating out. So I am happy to stick around and continue the conversation outside. I know they've got another one that needs to come in here. So I will go outside. Happy to stick around for as long as you want to continue this, or you can go over to the A Theater to see the session about team sites where they're going to tell you that you can only customize and clap. Thank you, though.